For our reading this afternoon, let's turn into the Epistle of James and read chapter number 5. James, chapter number 5. Go to, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them that shall be witness, and the rust of them shall be witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you, kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth, and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen that the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and full of tender mercy. And above all things, my brethren, swear not at all. Swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. If I'm not mistaken, it's been many years since this chapter has been read as part of a services here in our church. Yet, I believe that this scripture is familiar to us, and we see a lot of beautiful teachings here in this word. And the important part is that we would take this word with us, and that we would do that which we would hear and read about from this God's word. And this chapter also speaks of what doth it profit if we hear but are not doers of God's word. God's word speaks to us and with full expectation that we would then be doers of what God would have for us to do. The last verse of the previous chapter says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It is about what we do that matters. So we've read this now. But what we do with it is what matters. What is in our hearts, and how will we then live out what this word speaks to us? Here in the beginning, it speaks of selfish individuals, and then in the second half of the chapter, it speaks of brethren and what it is that we together as the body of Christ ought to do and how we ought to live out our lives. And so we read this first section about those who are rich in this world, whose riches consist of the things of this life and not the things which are of God. To be wealthy in the Lord is what really matters. Now, there has been those in times past in the Old Testament of those who were wealthy and also had riches as well. We think of Abraham, we think of Solomon, think of Job. They were wealthy in the Lord. They knew the Lord. They had a very strong relationship with the Lord. They walked with the Lord. And when the Lord spoke to them, they did what the Lord would have them to do. But they also happened to have an abundance of earthly possessions as well. But their heart was with the Lord. But we read here of those that are rich in this world, that they do not know the Lord, and the things of this life have consumed them, and they become selfish. And so we read here, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you." Weep and howl. That's when we think of an emotion that's being expressed such as that, it's helpless and it's pitiful to see. And that's because the miseries that shall come upon them, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered. All these things that they place their love in so much, it turns against them. And they were living, these people here are specifically living in a very selfish manner, because as those who labored for them, these rich individuals would not pay them. And the cries of them which have reaped their fields are entered into the ears of the Lord, and he hears their prayers. And so these are those who were selfish individuals, who thought only of themselves. It says that they lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton, just simply desiring that the lust of their flesh and all that their flesh would want, all that their eyes would behold, that they would have it. They didn't care about the things of the Lord, neither did they care of others. They nourished their own hearts as in a day of slaughter. This is what these rich men do. And when they did that, when they lived this selfish way, it turned against them. And it was very bad for them. They wept and they howled for that misery that came up against them, because they were thinking of themselves and of themselves alone. And so I want to use this scripture here to contrast the second half of the chapter. That there are here these rich, selfish individuals who did what they wanted to do. They lived in pleasure upon the earth. They have been wanton, and they have nourished their hearts as in a day of slaughter. It used to be in the old times that, perhaps it's even true yet today, that the food that would be consumed on the farm would that cattle or that fowl, whatever it would be fed and fed excessively, so that it would be fattened up for the time of when they would partake of that food. And here he's speaking of they doing that of themselves, filling themselves, nourishing their own hearts as in a day of slaughter. But those that reaped their fields, they cried out unto the Lord, and the Lord heard them. The next book, 1 Peter chapter 1, says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." And so we see what it's like, the misery that it's like to live a selfish lifestyle, to heap up riches for one's own self, not to regard others, and to set our hearts on the things of this life. That would be a horrible existence, a horrible way to go through life. But then in verse number 7, it switches to the audience of those of brethren. And so he says here, "Be patient, therefore, brethren." And when we think of brethren, we think of those in a tight-knit unity. And in this case, speaking here biblically, that it would be part of the body of Christ. So Christ is our head, and we are the body. And so we are being spoken to here by this scripture as brethren, as those who are part of the body of Christ, those who are knit together in love, knit together in Christ. And ours is to be patient. We might see those who live in nurturing their own hearts, living in wantonness, living in pleasure upon the earth. But we are to have patience. We are to have patience unto the coming of our Lord. And we sang that song in the beginning of the service, that the Lord is coming. He is near. And we know that the Lord will come. And we are to be patient until that day when the Lord would come. He says, "Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain." The husbandman, he who would care for that precious fruit of the earth. And that's the Lord caring for us. And he has long patience for all mankind. This is the Lord that we serve. He has patience for all mankind, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth. And he gives grace, and he gives grace again, as in the former and the latter rain. This is what God is doing continuously, giving grace to his creation, to seeing how many hearts will turn to him. And therefore, he's saying, as you behold this, that the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it, then we are being exhorted as brethren to be patient also, and that we would establish our hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The Lord is coming. He is near. And we soon shall see his coming and hear those trumpets as he would come. And so we are to be patient for that and to establish our hearts, that we would not be hasty in our ways, but that we would establish our hearts. We know the Lord is coming. We know he is a righteous judge. We know he is faithful. We know he is good. We know that we will suffer in this life, but we know that we will gain a crown in all eternity, and we will be in the presence of the Lord forever, and there will be no more sadness, no more death, no more crying, no more physical ailments anymore. We will not hear of anybody getting sick anymore. All these good things we will see and we will be a part of. And so we are to be patient until that time. And we are to establish then our hearts in that, settle our hearts in that, knowing that the Lord is coming and we will be with him forever. And so we are in expectation of the Lord's coming all together as brethren. And so he says here, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." We are brethren. We are all part of the body of Christ. And we are being exhorted here, as in the previous chapter where he says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren." We are also not to grudge one against another. To grudge would be to inaudibly express disapproval with another brother or sister on the body of Christ. That is not to be in our midst. We are brethren, and we will be condemned when we do that, the Bible says here. "Grudge not against another, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." We are committing ourselves to him who judges righteously. And that judge stands at the door. And in this case, if we're grudging, the imminency of that judgment is right there because he stands right before the door. So we are to take heed to our ways, that we are to be one another's helper as in this body of Christ. "Take my brethren," again, addressing us as brethren, "the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience." So here again, he's speaking of, have patience. Know that others, the prophets of old, have all suffered. They suffered affliction. There is a suffering of affliction that is part of the lot of those who believe in Christ. But he's again speaking here of having patience, of just waiting. Waiting and knowing that this all soon shall pass. It will all be gone. And we will be forever with the Lord. And so we're being exhorted here to having patience in this walk of life as brethren together. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Again, this is an enduring is part of having patience. We count them happy which endure. We have a satisfaction about ourselves as we endure for what the Lord would have us to endure, whatever it is. And for all of us, almost, it's unique, our sufferings that we have to endure. Some have the same suffering, but for the most part, in many ways, it's unique in what we have to endure. But we are to endure, and we are to be content in that what we have to endure in. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And we have seen that. We have experienced that God has grace. He has love, and we feel that love and his grace toward us in our patience that we are living in. We see that he's very pitiful, just full of pity toward his creation and toward those who call upon him, and of tender mercy. And as we, as brethren in the Lord, that we are likewise to be, just as Christ was, very pitiful and of tender mercy. When we are, as Christ was, being very pitiful, full of pity toward others, and of tender mercy, grudging in our hearts cannot be. But above all things, my brethren, swear not at all, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. And so here James is pointing out what Christ has already said there in the Sermon on the Mount, that we are not to swear, we are not to declare an oath, because simply we do what as much as we are able to do, and that is very, very limited. And as he speaks here in the previous chapter, we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. As the Lord gives grace, that we will do. What we have ability to do, that we will do. And we will let our yea be yea, and we'll let our nay be nay. But we are not to declare an oath. So the Scriptures makes that very clear. That we would not go on and make a declaration of something beyond that which we would be able to do or is within our power to do. Then he begins here on this latter portion of the scripture of this chapter, speaking of prayer and the power of prayer and the importance of prayer. Last week we read in the afternoon about prayer as well, and the Lord taught his disciples how to pray, and what comes to mind in my memory of last Sunday afternoon of our reading there was that when we pray, God will give us great things when we pray to him and ask him earnestly for. So if a father who is evil knows how to give good gifts unto his child, our heavenly Father will give us the Holy Spirit. And so as we pray to him, he will give unto us his Holy Spirit. And the other reference was that we would, when we pray to the Lord, he will give unto us of his wisdom. We can seek that of the Lord. We can pray to him for his wisdom, and he gives it back to us in an abundant measure. Liberally, he gives unto us his wisdom. And we are thankful for that. And the reference for that is in this book as well of James. And so we are to pray. And we are to be faithful in our prayers and have a belief that what we ask of the Lord, he will provide for us. We ought to have that prayer of faith in him, knowing that with the Lord, he can do great things, despite ourselves, despite our weaknesses, despite our inabilities. The Lord can do great things for us. And so he says here, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is there afflictions? Let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And all things that we do is in the name of the Lord. As we do that which would we would do, again, going back to that last verse of the previous chapter, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But as we do these good things, as the Lord inspires it of us, we are to do it always in the name of the Lord, and that he would get the glory, and that his name would be praised, and that his body, as brethren, would be edified and built up and lifted up. And so there is prayer here again being called for, even when one is sick. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. This is the power of prayer. Here the Bible here is saying that when we pray, that if sins are committed, they shall be forgiven. And this is the power as we turn to the Lord in prayer and in an earnest manner and bringing our petitions to him continuously, that he will do great things. He will do great things. We are thankful for his mercy and thankful for the forgiveness that he offers. Continues on here saying, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Confessing our faults one to another. This is so important that we readily express that we have vulnerabilities. We are not perfect. We have faults, and we want to express even those faults, confessing them, and not to speak so highly of ourselves or these great things that we know or that we do. That's not for the believer. That's not for the brethren. There's a proverb that says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. You expect that in the world, for everyone to proclaim their own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And so we are to hear, as the Bible says, confess our faults one to another. Speak one to another of where we can be helped by their prayers. Praying one for another, that we might be healed. And then knowing that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's very effective, the prayers that we have, when we come to him in prayer, having that prayer of faith, one for another. Ephesians speaks of having the whole armor of God, and in part of that armor here it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This verse comprises of so much. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Having the Spirit of God work in our hearts, that as we are praying to the Lord and bringing out our supplication to him, that we would watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There's just so much here in this chapter. So it says watching thereunto with all perseverance, meaning being very attentive to do this, watching thereunto, having in our mind that I need to pray about that. I need to pray about that. I need to pray for this brother. I need to pray for this sister. I need to pray for this situation. I need to be in prayer. Watching thereunto unto prayer, being very attentive unto prayer. With all perseverance, meaning never giving up, having that prayer of faith, a prayer of faith that doesn't give up, a prayer that will continuously beseech the Lord and make their supplications to the Lord that the Lord would be merciful and would grant forgiveness, and that there could be healing. With all perseverance and all supplication, but the verse doesn't end there. It says, for all saints. For all saints, for the brethren, for the body of Christ. This is what we are being called to in our devotion, in our prayer to the Lord, in our walk of life, in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, knowing that the Spirit is going to make is going to work in our hearts as we make these supplications to the Lord. And so there's a lot here in these verses. But ours is to have faith in that which the Lord is able to do, and then we are to do what the Lord would have us to do. So the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's a difference maker. It's a difference maker when we beseech the Lord and come before him in prayer, having, as we prayed together, not only our hearts and our head, not only our heads and our knees bowed before the Lord, but also our hearts bowed before the Lord. That we would come knowing that we are coming before an almighty God, and that he hears our prayers and he can do all things, including being able to forgive those that would have trespassed. And so he gives an example here of Elias. He was a man subject to like passions as we are, meaning he was just a man just like me, you and I. He was no different. Sometimes we think of the apostles and the prophets as being super individuals. And here James is saying he's just a man subject to like passions as we are. And so as he prayed, so we can pray. And his prayers were so effective, because the effectual fervent of a righteous man avails much, his prayers were so effective that he prayed that it would not rain for 3.5 years, and it didn't. Is that a difference maker? Think of what happened as a result of those prayers. How there was drought throughout the land and how everyone was impacted by that drought. But this was Elias's prayer, that it would not rain for 3.5 years, and it didn't. But then he prayed. He prays again. And when he prayed again that rain would come, it says that the heavens gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. This is the power of prayer. And this is what he's speaking here of. How important a prayer of faith is, and this prayer would be one for another because we are brethren. Because we have a common goal. Because we have a common enemy. And we are all on the body of Christ. Continues on here saying, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Our prayers are very important. Our prayers are very important. That when one would err, that we would first thing get on our knees and pray to the Lord that he would grant grace to an individual, and then that he would grant grace unto us that we might be able to approach that individual and help them in the error of their way. But first, our heart has to be set aright. We all appreciate so much the grace of the Lord. We all appreciate so much that we feel the forgiveness of the Lord in our lives. We appreciate so much that the Lord is very pitiful, full of pity and of tender mercy for us. Likewise, we want what the Lord has done for us, for each and every one. The psalmist said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Blessed is such a man. We relish in this truth. We find peace and we find contentment and we find joy and we find hope that our transgressions have been forgiven and that our sins have been covered. We are blessed in that state. And our desire is that then all would receive this blessed state, that their transgressions would be forgiven and that their sin would be covered. It's a blessed state to be in. And we as brethren ought to be encouraging each other and having a desire one for another that would be the case for each and every one. Proverbs says, "Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins." Love covers all sins. And here in James, we read that. "He that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover," or shall hide, "a multitude of sins." Love does this. Love is the motivator for how we treat each other, because that's how God loved us, in giving unto us of his only begotten Son. And so we are being encouraged yet again. Let's pray for one another. Let's have faith in the prayers that we would have one for another. Let's edify the body of Christ. Let's lift each other up. Let's encourage one another, knowing that those rich in this world will weep and howl, but we will rejoice, and we will have peace, and we will have hope in our lives as we build each other up and as we pray one for another. So may the Lord bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
This afternoon, we've all been exhorted by the Lord to know and also to apply these beautiful words of wisdom that we might shine as lights in this sin-darkened world, holding forth the light and the word of God. And this is a high calling, but also with the high calling, there's also great support from our Lord. We're given the example of the husbandman that waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Think about the husbandman that works to plant and prepare his garden. And perhaps in a climate like they were maybe more familiar with, very arid, how much they depended upon the rains to come. That is like us. We have a high calling, and there's great fruitfulness that is promised to those that abide in the vine, but oh, how much we must be patient and wait for the Lord to provide, and how he does. And also we read about the prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. As I thought about that verse, I remembered what we heard this morning about the Holy One and the just. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And his prayers for us, that we would hear and know and apply and be fruitful in his knowledge. He yearns for our faith and our growth in him more than anyone. And his prayers can avail much. Let us remember, there's a high calling that we're each called to walk in, but there is great support from the Lord, and he has provided for all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, to whom be honor and glory now and forevermore. Amen.